Blog Talk Radio.
Today, Franklin Pierce, 14th President of the United States, one of the most incompetent. He did serve in the Mexican War, and he was a Democrat, and he tried to get reelected, but that didn't work out. And the 15th President, Pierce, had a lot of tragedy in his life. That his three sons all died. One was killed by a train. He was from New Hampshire. And he was succeeded by James Buchanan, who was from Pennsylvania and who was ambassador or minister or envoy to the court of St. James. Victoria was the queen there, and she remarked, prettiest man she ever saw. Buchanan was, he did have a love in his life, a woman, but it was claimed that he was our first gay president. Of course, they claimed, gays, propagandists have claimed that Lincoln was also gay because he slept in the same bed with his fellow lawyer Speed when they traveled. In those days, there wasn't Motel 5 or Motel 6. On this day, Billy the Kid was born. Probably one of the most famous classical Argentinian classical composers, Alberto Williams. Famous Spanish composer, wrote the Ritual Fire Dance. Manuel de Falla, and of course we have two Anglo-Indian actors and actresses who were born on this day. Boris Karloff, whose father Anglo-Indian means is a designation given to the British the person of English descent who also had Indian parentage from India. And there was a lot of this. Edward Elgar's wife was supposedly a descendant, a British field marshal. Lord Roberts was one of the Anglo-Indians. And, of course, Merle Oberon was also Anglo-Indian. And of course, this was accepted. There was a famous movie starring Ava Gardner about Anglo-Indians. And with some of this intermarriage also with the when the Britain ran Ceylon, which is now Sri Lanka. And this was, acceptable, what we call race mixing, because it was very exotic. Excuse me. Also on this day, we have Harpo Marx of the Marx Brothers, Victor Jory, and I think I'll play that clip from Victor Jory, who was the Shadow. And also, he knew Ted Samuel, who brought me. Ted Samuel brought me into KALW FM. And here's a clip. Victor Jory was born in the Yukon in Canada, for the furthest west and northernmost province, Canada. Became an American citizen. Served in the U.S. Coast Guard during World War One. Was a boxing champion. And he had a great basso voice. Here is Victor Jory as the Shadow.
The man you are searching for is tied up in room 25 at the Acme Hotel on the waterfront.
Hello, hello. Go to the Acme Hotel.
By trucking me here, I suppose you imagine you know who I am.
I've known for some time. Your magic won't save you. The day of the Black Tiger is nearly finished.
You're wrong.
I've left your name with the police along with all the evidence I've gathered against you. The reign of the Black Tiger is over. No. To you, I'll always be the Shadow.
Weston speaking.
The Black Tiger is dead. You will find his body at the arcade garage.
Hello.
That was Victor Jory playing the Shadow, and if you listen carefully, he used the word against, which is a Canadian English expression, so you can always tell a Canadian by certain pronunciations of certain words, like ooh, out, about. Also on this day, we had of the births, 1943, Andrew Goodman of Turner, Goodman, and the Black Swerner, who were civil rights workers in 1964, went to the South, and they were apprehended by a corrupt sheriff named Rainey, and they were brutally murdered. And the U.S. Navy was called in, and the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, was really pissed off about this. Not J. Edgar Hoover, but LBJ, excuse me. And he ordered the FBI to investigate, and there's famous movies made about this. Also, the U.S. Navy from the Air Aviation Station in Tennessee was called in to do excavation to find the bodies. And, of course, Rainey was later, and a couple of his deputies were later prosecuted by the Federals. And it's very typical. We see these cover-ups of corrupt sheriffs in America, like Tubbo Gilbert in Cook County, the world's richest sheriff who retired in California. We have a sheriff under a federal indictment down in Los Angeles. Was also involved in suspected vote fraud. We have two corrupt sheriffs up here in San Francisco. We had Michael Hennessy, who tolerated mail rape, voter fraud, using the jail for using a policeman's name for being registered at the San Francisco County Jail, but the policeman lived in San Mateo County. There was a nun who was strip searched and thrown naked into a cold cell. She was a senior citizen in her 70s, arrested in a civil rights violation. Other women had been violated. The food budget, they were siphoning off, the allegation was they were siphoning off money from the detainees' food budget. And of course, Michael Hennessy was a political ally and supporter of this current suspected Muslim, Raul Mirkarimi, who beat up his wife and other women. He assaulted and neglected his child, and his claim was this is a private matter, which is Islamic religion's byword for, you know, man is the king in his own house, and his wife and his children are chattel. And there are those of us who say this is a Judeo-Christian society. If you don't like it, you know, if you don't want to adhere to our rules, then go back to where you came from. And, of course, there are more on the Mirkarimi scandal. Among the deaths today, Elbert Gerry died in 1914, but what he did back in the early 19th century, he was a vice president, and he was involved in the term gerrymandering comes from him. That's the origin of the phrase, and what it is a manipulation of borders of an area where you can rig the boat, and so you get the term gerrymandering. Also on this day, the great French writer, and he fought in the Spanish Civil War on the Republic side, which was the communist side, André Malraux. We had Merle Auberon, who I talked about. In 1848, the first female medical association was set up. In 1863, this is where we first got color. The color process for photos was patented. 5 years later, tricolor was developed. I think that's connected to George Eastman and Kodak. And then we had the great Presidio, which Nancy Pelosi has been involved in real estate development there, very controversial. We had the post hospital was named Letterman General Hospital for the military. In 1936, Henry Luce of Time Magazine issued the first issue of Life Magazine, and we have a picture on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Also during this time, Notre Dame played its first football game, and there's a connection to the Steve Mary case, U.S. Navy sailor. And here's Newt Rockne's famous Notre Dame locker room speech. He was a Protestant who later converted to Catholicism, and I believe he was killed in the same plane as Will Rogers and Wiley Post when the plane crashed in Alaska. But here's his famous locker room speech.
Collins, Ewan, Kolek will play the end. And the same back to you, Jimmy, Ewan. Collins. Chetney. And Nimmy. Now, the success of any team, man, based on team play, same as it's shown all year. Sacrifice. Unselfish sacrifice. These other fellas, they say, are pretty good. But I think we're better. And I think if we get ourselves keyed up to a point, if we're confident of that, why, the results will take care of themselves. All right, now in the kickoff, if we receive, the little man drop back on the receiver and block long, at all Notre Dame style. And if we kick off, with the rest of these teams walk, let's run down fast. It's as fast as you can run. And then we go on defense. And on defense, I want the center, in and out of that line, according to the situation. Use your old head. And I want you guards charging through as far as you can go. On every play. They expect to play right over you every time. And the tacklers, I want you to go in a yard and a half and then check yourself. Spread your feet, squat down low, and be ready with your hands and elbows. So you won't be sideswiped. But I want the ends in there fast every play. Every play. But under control. And you men in the backfield, I want you to analyze before you move. And they throw a forward pass. The throw pass, wait till you see the ball in the air, and then go and get it. And when we get it, boys, that's when we go on offense. That's when we go to them. And don't forget we're going to pick it on one tackle they've had this week. We're going inside them. We're going outside them. Inside them and outside them. And when we get them on the run, we're going to keep them on the run. And we're not going to pass unless our secondary comes up too close. But don't forget, man, we're going to get them on the run. We're going to go, 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 go. And we aren't going to stop until we go to that goal line. Don't forget, man, today's the day we're going to win. They can't lick us. And the black out of the goal. The first whistle of the man to win there. Fight, 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 fight. What do you say, man?
Now, yesterday, those who watched the football game between the New York Jets and the Boston Patriots, really lopsided score, 49-3 in favor of the Patriots, who kicked the Jets, smoked the Jets, in other words. So you don't see football games like that. That was the Thanksgiving game televised last night. We are now, everybody is being asked to do their duty. The country's in dire straits, but we've always pulled out of it. I think this speech, again, is appropriate from Robert LaFollette, who was one of the original progressives, the real progressives. You hear the term progressive thrown around today, and these people who use it don't either are ignorant of the original term of description, or are they just manipulated for their own propaganda purposes. But Robert LaFollette, they ran for president. He was from Wisconsin, and these are people who were against the monopolies of the banks, the financial predatory, the public corruption, immorality in politics, and a lot of the things that we see that are unfortunately tolerated today and are censored and suppressed by people who pretend to be journalists. But I think this speech is very appropriate, and we'll play it again right now. Every citizen must do his duty.
America is not made. It's in the making. It has today to meet an impending crisis, menacing as any in the nation's history. It does not call a sound to arms, but it is nonetheless a call to patriotism and to higher ideals in citizenship. The patriotic citizenship of the country must take its stand and demand of wealth that it shall conduct its business lawfully, that it shall no longer furnish the most flagrant examples of persistent violation of statutes while invoking the protection of the courts, that it shall not destroy the equality of opportunity, the right to the pursuit of happiness guaranteed by the Constitution, that it shall keep its powerful hands off from legislative manipulation, that it shall not corrupt, but shall obey the government that guards and protects its rights. Mere passive citizenship is not enough. Men must be aggressive for what is right if government is to be saved from those who are aggressive for what is wrong. There is work for everyone. The field is large. It is a glorious service, this service for the country. The call comes to every citizen. It is an unending struggle to make and keep government representative. Each one should count it a patriotic duty to build at least a part of his life into the life of his country, to do his share in the making of America according to the plan of the fathers.
That was Senator Robert LaFollette from Wisconsin, and that's the old-time oratory you heard, Brimmer, Firestone and Brim. Among the most successful but little-known spies in American history, a guy who was an analyst for a Central Intelligence Agency. He became involved with the CIA, what's America's spy agency, dating from his origin in Shanghai, China in 1948 through 1969. And he spied for Red China. He made $1 million, unlike the Walker John Walker spy family, which was all Navy people, which John Walker made less than $120,000, I think, for all the damage he did, $1 billion worth of damage to military security files, communications, and all that. But Larry Wu Tai-Chin, he gave information to China on the North Vietnamese, for the North Vietnamese when we were fighting the Vietnam War. 2 years before China was, Nixon was going to go to China, he informed them that this was in the works, so they knew how to prepare and to get what they wanted or what they thought they were going to get. He was caught and prosecuted 17 charges against him, and he committed suicide. So, I repeatedly said, since I'm familiar with the field, Americans have never understood espionage and spying. It's a dirty business. It's a necessary business, and everybody does it, and it's still going on today. case that I brought up recently, which I studied, was that of the Canadian spy case involving the Soviets back in the late 1940s. Igor Grishenko, who was a cipher clerk in the Soviet embassy in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, and he informed the Canadians, and they of course informed the American and the British that there was a major spying operation in Canada and probably spread down into the United States. And we strongly suspect, those of us who are intelligence cognoscenti, suspect that Soviet spies came through Canada into the United States, and they may still be operating here today or have gone to ground. We need to investigate this, but this is an example of what happens. Now, Grishenko died, he was given a new name and relocated in Canada with his family, and of course the Soviets would love to, the KGB would love to have offed him, but he died, I think, in 1982 in the 80s. An interesting name. And then he had another scandal up there involving a woman involved with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Gerda Munsinger, and Canadian politics at the time. Here's another Chinese who was a survivor of he was on a British steamer in World War II. In 1942, he was torpedoed in the Atlantic, but he survived. He put a raft together and survived 133 days on the raft in the Atlantic. And, of course, I was just thinking with this movie out, The Life of Pi, is this a variation? Of course, that's a novel, I understand. But Poon Lien, later Senator Warren Magnuson of Washington State, got him U.S. citizenship and for a very heroic a young sailor at the time. And he died, I think, in the late 90s. We got a scandal in the courts with this woman. Her name is Peterson Hare. She was a research attorney. A lot of people don't know how the operations of the court, of these both state and federal courts, that we have docketing clerks, we have clerks who do our filing, and we have clerks, research attorneys who look up cases and case law and write briefs for judges, because the judges don't do this work generally, and they don't check what their research attorneys do. And so these research attorneys and these clerks, especially in what we learned in the Neri case and what I learned working in the Seventh Circuit, that they can alter filings, they can illegally charge fees, which Stephen Neri was charged $105. And here this kid was, this sailor was pauperous. He hasn't had money, earned money since 1996. This woman, she's a recent graduate of Washburn Law School in Kansas. She used her employee court entrance pass to enter the courtroom, and apparently during a hearing, tweeted to her girlfriends or whatever, her friends, at the Attorney General Klein, who is a douchebag. And Klein is not well known throughout the United States, but he was shutting down and prosecuting illegal abortion mills, the famous case of Dr. Tiller. And one of the Kansas citizens was so outraged at what Dr. Tiller's abortion operation that he shot and killed this man. And, of course, the citizen is now serving a life sentence in a Kansas prison. But this is the kind of activity that goes on. We used to have here in San Francisco clerks and research attorneys coming out and protesting in front of the state courthouse for gay marriage, gay lesbian marriage. You know, when you work in the federal and state courts, you're not supposed to bring your political or economic agendas in there. You're just supposed to do your work and keep your personal preferences and activities to yourself as long as they're legal. But this is what's going on, and goes on right up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and we'll get into documentation on that. also on this day in 1963, John Kennedy's body was in repose in the White House, and then world leaders from all over the world, including the great General Charles de Gaulle, who knew the Kennedys, and knew Joseph Kennedy, the father of President John Kennedy. Many of the leaders came for the state funeral, was broadcast, and I remember we got the day off. It was a weekend of mourning. I was just a student working and going to college in 1963. I'll talk about Dan White and the Twinkie thing, because that's a connection in my life. When I was in boarding school, Catholic schools in Illinois, where the beneficiaries of Continental Bakery's Twinkie and Cupcake donation program, and I helped in that with the school, and of course the nuns did strange things with those donuts, rebaking them and adding icing, and, but you know, it was free, and so they did what they did. So we'll talk about that, and we have a rare interview of Dan White, which was done by David Fowler, who I worked with at KLW, and David Fowler died of AIDS in September of 2001. We don't know whether David was gay or not, but I do remember seeing him with before he died. But he was a great guy and a great journalist, and he worked for FEMA in the earthquake advisory and the National Fire Academy. And he was California's and FEMA's and Fire Academy's disaster expert. And he also wrote and he edited the book Denial of Disaster, which was the classic book on San Francisco's 1906 earthquake. So we'll be back Monday, and we're going to end right now with our usual theme, politics and poker. Maybe more politicians should play poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Pony. Up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We got to pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the plan?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Impulse.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
I suppose we should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Need a game for children, need a game is rough.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll call.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Say, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyachinkovich, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker. Play for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, running neck and neck. Politics and poker, politics.
Peter Paul Verzola. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, and we'll be back Monday with the Dan White interview. It's a rarity, and other material which you won't hear anyplace else. And also, we are preparing a demo disc, DVD, CD, for museums around the world who are interested in rare audio that we historical significance that we put together. So have a good, peaceful weekend, and don't eat too much turkey.